Welcome to the podcast of Revival Life Church, a spirit-filled multicultural church in Boca Raton, Florida. If you'd like more information about Revival Life Church or Pastor Carl Thomas, find us on the web at revivallifechurch.org.
Hallelujah. How you feeling? You can take it. You're good. How you feeling? Are you good? You liking Jesus? You know, faith is awesome, right? We're to have faith. But at some point, faith ends. Like, I don't have to have faith for a wife anymore. I have a wife. So I like, you know, I'm at the place I don't have to have faith for Jesus showing up. Because when I'm faithless, he's still faithful. And this is kind of what he does. He shows up, yeah? I need you to keep drinking. I got a brief message, but, you know, the longer it takes for y'all to receive, the longer it takes. You know what I'm saying? There you go. See, leaning into it now, huh? Somebody hears KFC calling him, and so. How you doing, Lillian? How was worship for you? Was it good? Yeah, it was good? Listen, we're family, right? A lot of churches call themselves a family, and they come up and put on a production. We're not here to put on a play. If you got a Bible, you can go ahead and turn to Luke chapter 24. How you guys doing on the right over here? Is the presence still here? Wow. I'm just going to give a couple words. And I could, you know. If you're visiting today, I want to say thanks for coming. If you haven't left yet, you're awesome. How you doing, Vanessa? You good? Yeah? Why don't you stand up for me? You feeling good? Yeah, I saw a real mothering anointing over you. And you know, I believe, this is my conviction, in the charismatic church, the day of the traveling magic show is over. There was a time that they would bring ministers in and, hey, come perform some signs and wonders for us. And we get entertained by it. And everybody wanted to be that. Everybody wanted to be a healer. Everybody wanted to be able to do signs and wonders and do tricks and entertain the church. And we contend for that. I make no apologies about that. I want to see healings. I want to see miracles. But this isn't supposed to be something we need to bring people in for. This is who the church is supposed to be. This is where we're supposed to be. I'm not impressed by gifts. I say that all the time. I'm really not, because I've seen Jesus. Right? What I'm impressed by is character. I want gifts. Now, if I need healed, I'm going to be honest with you. If I need a healing, I don't care about your character. I just want you to pray for me if you have a gift of healing. I'm not going to ask you to pastor me, but I do want to get healed. I'm going to receive of your gift, right? But for a whole generation, there was a decreased value on spiritual fathers and mothers who would be elders who will walk with you for a long time without trying to control you. And God is, because so many, we lost a generation to signs and wonders, to the traveling magic show. And in this day and age, I'm just talking from my heart. This isn't judgment at all. In this day and age, there's a lot of older ministers who can't find anywhere to speak because the church doesn't need traveling magic shows anymore. What the church needs are apostles, elders, bishops. This is what the church is desperate for in this hour. And what I see God doing in this church, and since he's doing it here, I know he's doing it all over because we're just a part of the church. What he's doing is raising up elders at a young age. I want people with experience and wisdom, but God's like, if you don't have experience, I'll just give it to you. He's like, he can give wisdom, right? Didn't he say that? If you lack it, just ask me, I'll give it to you. Yeah? And so you can collect it over years or you can just give it to you. And we've so wanted to be the person who does the traveling magic show that everybody looks to and thinks is awesome, we have devalued some long-term gifts, gifts that take a long time to cultivate and bear long-term fruit. Now, it's neat if you're the person carrying the basket full of fruit. That's neat. But if somebody didn't plant a tree 20 years ago, there's no basket full of fruit. Right? And in the church, in the last 5 years or so, have seen what happens when people's character is not tested and we only worship them for their gifts. It really doesn't bring honor to Christ. And so, Vanessa, I really feel like God is raising up a mothering spirit in you in like a really significant way. And I don't want you to devalue that, trying to be someone else or valuing someone else's gifting. And this compassion that's in your heart, that you're able to feel other people's pain, emotional pain, that you're able to feel their hurts and their burdens, you have to learn how not to bear that yourself, because it's not for you to bear. It's for you to take and lay it at the feet of Jesus. He's the only one who can bear that, right? He's the only one who can bear that. But I need you to value this mothering anointing that God is working on the inside of you. Now, I believe it's going to manifest in children in God's season. But you're going to start seeing fruit of that even now, and you're going to be drawn towards the hurting. And the funny thing about hurting is they generally don't want advice. They just want somebody to listen, which is why I get irritated, because I want to fix things. My wife can just listen. I'm not as good at listening. I'm good at solution finding. But you can listen. And I want you to be a listener. I want you to lean into that anointing. I want you to lean into that mothering anointing. I want you to read how Paul talks to the elders and how their character will qualify them for their ministry. Not gifts, character. And I don't want you to try to be somebody else. I want you to be free to be who God has called you to be. And I really speak that to all the mothers in the house. And there's a mother... Yeah, sit down. That's good. There's a mothering anointing on this church. And... And this is going to sound silly to some, but, you know, there, you could be a spiritual father. Keep standing. I'm still talking to you. This is difficult for me to understand, but there are women who can be a sort of a spiritual father who will speak destiny into people, who will speak purpose into people, who will shepherd them. And there's men who have a mothering anointing in that they can be long-term nurturers. Oh, that's quiet. All right, well, you know, we're called to be the bride. I don't get that exactly, but I know it to be true. And, you know, hear me on this. Now, I'm not trying to speak blaspheme. Father is represented as a father, right? But, you know, he doesn't actually have, he's not anatomically a father. You know, years ago, East Germans were sending women to the Olympics that nobody believed were women. And so a doctor had to investigate because they didn't look like women. There's no way to investigate Father God, because he's God is spirit. Don't hear what I'm saying. I'm not trying to be weird. I'm not trying to be new age. He's our father, and there's a whole teaching in that. But he's gender neutral, because he's God. Men and women were created in his likeness. Okay? And so we can get a little weird on this whole, you know, God's a man because I'm a man. So you got to be a man to be leading, because God's a man like me. No, he's not a man like me. I'm created in his image, just like my wife. What's my point here? Being a mother, being an anointed mother, still represents the father heart of God. You know, I'm tired of masculine women thinking they have to be masculine to be ministers. Just, I like my wife being feminine, and she can minister. Does that make sense? Okay, that's all I got right there. That's it right there. That's a good word, right? Don't get excited about it. I just received that. Yeah. Is that okay? Yeah. I feel the Spirit moving. Anybody feel the Spirit moving? I violated my own protocol today. Anybody see that? Anybody notice? You saw that? Flip-flops, right? I made him put them on, though. He was barefoot. I made him put on the flip-flops. I don't want to see men's toes on stage. That's a rule that we have. So I violated my protocol once. Once. Listen, God is talking right now. You might, like, can we move on so I can? God is talking. His Spirit is here. He's moving. He's feeding people. All right, now I'm going to get my message. I have another word, but I'm going to give it in a second. I have a simple little thing I want you to see here. And I want to give you some liberty. Say liberty. Liberty. I want to give you liberty. Religion wants to take away your liberties. You know that? Religion wants to put a bondage on you. Religion says, I'll decide whether or not you're following God. That's what religion says. Jesus said, I'll decide whether or not you're following. Pastor, you just encourage the people. I'll be in charge. You see the difference? Anybody see the difference in that? I had a wonderful meeting recently with a discipleship group of some ladies. And it was really good. But what was interesting about the discipleship group is God is not like us. We're trying to be like Him. And our minds want payback. We want payback. We want retribution. We think if someone does something wrong, they should be punished. And what new believers often want answered is, if I do something wrong, how much will God punish me? What level of sin do I have to commit before God will take His Spirit from me? If somebody does this, can they still do that? This is what new believers want answered. And it's hard for new believers and some old believers to understand is that God is very good. And that His love endures forever. And we don't understand, if God is not going to punish me, why would I be good? Why would, no, we don't say it that way. We say, if God doesn't punish, why will they be good? God needs to punish them so they'll be good. Not me so much, but them. Don't tell people about God not punishing them because then they won't be good. Me, I'm okay with not being punished. But they won't be good if God doesn't punish them. Here's one really funny thing. My Bible, now I use a different version than some people, but my Bible says that Christ took the punishment. Yeah. Amen. And if He took the punishment, where is there room for me to be punished? I heard a prophet recently say, some people get tripped up on the fact that, well, what if I sin on purpose? Then I deserve punishment. There isn't forgiveness. Well, the only thing you can be forgiven of is stuff you do on purpose. If it's an accident, you didn't do anything wrong. Well, I didn't mean to do it, so you'll forgive me. How can I forgive you if you didn't mean to do it? It's what you meant to do is what you need to be forgiven of. I have a point. I hope you're catching this. And so we say, I did something wrong on purpose. Okay, God, I've been happy for 2 weeks now. And so it's okay for me to be sad for a couple days because I don't deserve to be happy because I did something wrong. And so hopefully I'll earn forgiveness and then I can be happy again. And the Father's like, I kind of sent Jesus to die for that. Hallelujah. Now, let me ask you a question here. Don't raise your hands because I don't want you to embarrass yourself. If I were to tell you, listen, if you go to the club and act a fool, you can still go to heaven. You can go ahead and have all the bondage you had when you were in the club. You can have all the addiction that you had. You can have all the depression. You can have all the perversion. You can have all the lust. You can have all that. Would you want it? I wouldn't. I wouldn't take back my old life if it came with $1,000. I wouldn't take back my old life if it came with $1 million. What I have now is priceless. And I don't need 3 days worth of depression to keep me from wanting to live in sin. You don't get punished for sinning. Sin is the fruit of you leaving God in your heart. Your sin judges you. You're living a life that does not bring life. That is the punishment. And Jesus says, just turn from that and you can come back into life. So we say, okay, I've turned back to life. How do I get punished? He's like, why would I punish you now that you're following me? Why would he punish you after you turn back to God? Does that make any sense at all? Come back to me so I can punish you. No, thanks. I'll pass. No, what's the punishment? You're in sin. If you don't have control over your passions, that is the punishment. The devil's got people confused that there's some reward to living a sinful life. That it's better. If you think it's better to live in sin, then you have not lived in freedom. Freedom is the reward. I think this is a good message right here. I think that's a good word right there. It's not even my message, but it could be. It could be my message, Travis. It could be. I think it's a pretty good message right there. That'll change your life. Hello, Miss Cynthia. How are you? Listen. That's not even my message. We're gonna read some scripture here. You ready? Gosh, be free, everybody. Are you okay? Have I offended you to tell you that God is not mad at you if you get it wrong? Have I robbed you of your angry God? If I feel like now you're missing out, I need an angry God. I'm sorry. I was angry when I found out he wasn't angry. Because I preached about my angry God for a long time. And then he kept forgiving me. And he kept loving me. And he just kept coming to me. And I would get it wrong, and I'd be like, surely I'm cut off. And he kept coming to me. And I'd tell people how angry he was, and they'd be cut off. But he never cut me off. And so at some point, I realized, wait a minute, I may not be preaching about the living God. I might be preaching about some God that men created. He loves righteousness. He is holy. He wants us to be perfect as he's perfect. Why? It's to our benefit. You know, if a man came to me and said, I'm married to this woman who won't let me go, you know, do this sin. I'm like, well, praise God. That'll be a healthier marriage. I'll be healthy. You'll be happier if she just let me do this thing. I'm like, well, you're stupid. That's not a good marriage. There is such a, it's such a precious communion when two people can trust one another. Not to violate that love. That's precious. You want liberty to sin, you're stupid. And that's our relationship with God in a nutshell. I don't want to violate his love toward me. That's stupid. I don't need to be punished. I cut off his love toward me. That's stupid. I'm get some. That's it. That's all I got right there. That's all I got. Luke chapter 24. I feel the presence so sweet in here. Ah, right, Mike? Ah, yeah. Yeah, there we go. Yeah. How you sleeping, Natalia? How's your sleep life? Not so good? Is it because of the baby or are you actually getting your sleep interrupted? Yeah, the Lord showed me he's going to begin visiting you in the midnight hour. But he's going to visit you in your dreams. See, you're expecting him to wake you up, huh? Yeah, he's going to visit you in dreams. He's going to invade those dreams. He's going to birth a spirit of burning in you. Tell me when your chest is burning. Did it start yet? There it is. Yeah, see? Right there. That's confirmation. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 24, starting in verse 13. Okay, so let me catch you up to the story if you haven't read this book. I don't want to, spoiler alert. Jesus dies and comes back to life, okay? If you haven't gotten to that part of the book yet. All right? And some people knew, they saw he came back to life, and he's walking on a road, right? These two people are walking on a road. Let's pick it up in verse 13, Luke chapter 24. Okay. And behold, two of them were going that very day to a village named Emmaus, which was about 7 miles from Jerusalem. Gosh, there's so much prophetic symbolism here. I'm just going to try to run through it, though. And they were talking with each other about all these things that had taken place. Now, they're talking about the crucifixion of Jesus, who they thought was going to restore the kingdom of Israel. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself approached and began traveling with them. Who would like that? Hallelujah. Amen. Verse 16, but their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. And he said to them, what are these words that you're exchanging with one another as you were walking? And they stood still looking sad. And one of them, named Cleopas, answered and said to him, are you the only one visiting Jerusalem and unaware of these things that have happened here in these days? And Jesus, again, asking questions he knows the answer to. What things? Doesn't he love to ask questions here that he knows the answer to? Doesn't he love that? What's wrong, Carl? You don't know? And they said to him, the things about Jesus, the Nazarene, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word in the sight of God and all the people. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to the sentence of death and crucified him. And then he goes on to talk about, we were hoping that he would restore the kingdom. And some women said that he came. And he's like, man, y'all are stupid, right? And he says right there, oh, foolish men and slow of heart to believe. That's not what you want to hear, okay? Verse 26, was it not necessary for Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory? 27, then beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself in all the scriptures. When I get to heaven, that's the Bible study I'm going to go look up. I get to heaven, I'm calling up this right here. I'm going to ask to visit right here. I'm just going to be in the background. I'm going to listen to Jesus give a story using all the scriptures in the Old Testament about him. I want to see that. Amen? Anybody want to see that Bible study? I'm like, Jesus, open yourself and let me see this. Okay, 28. And they approached the village where they were going, and he acted as though he were going farther. But they, how many of you thought Jesus was going with you somewhere and he sent you on your own? That's painful. He acted like he was going farther, but they urged him, saying, stay with us, please, for it is getting toward evening, and the day is now nearly over. So then he hung out with them, and he fed them, right? And as Jesus fed them, the Bible says right here, their eyes were opened, yeah? After Jesus fed them, their eyes were open. Verse 31, their eyes were open, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to one another, were not our hearts burning within us while he was speaking to us on the road, while he was explaining the scriptures to us? And they got up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found gathered together the 11 and those who were with them, saying, the Lord has really risen and has appeared to Simon. I have a very brief message. I have one more scripture I want to share. The Lord talked to me this morning, and this is what he told me to share with you. You see, religion wants to devalue your relationship with God. Religion wants to value your relationship with the religious. The religious build up a measuring system of your spirituality, and that is the test. Jesus measures your relationship with him. Now, religion says The only thing that really matters is what is in your brain and what we see in your life. God says, I want to have a heart-to-heart relationship with you. Why was David so favored? He had a heart after God. David messed up. A lot. He did things, I'm like, oh, good Lord. What? But God stayed with him. Why? He had a heart after God. Religion says your heart doesn't matter. We just want to see you perform. Heart to heart says, I want to know that you're still connected to me. With one of my kids mess up, I'm not kicking them out. As long as they call me dad, I got a bed for them. Have a baby and then think of you treating your child the way you think God is treating you as far as judgment and bitterness. Hold your child and say, you know, I love you, but if you ever don't talk to me right, I'm kicking you out. That's not the heart of a father. That's not the heart of a mother. The father says, the closer you stay to me, the more you can be transformed. My kid isn't behaving well. I need to spend more time with them. Not say, get out of my house and figure it out. We want to isolate our kids from us thinking that, you know, keep you. Yeah, I don't want to be around you. You're acting bad. No. You need to get them around you more. And so Jesus, in his relationship with us today, I want to give you faith for a couple things. I want you to have faith in the experiences you have with Jesus. I want you to have faith in the experiences of how Jesus has revealed himself to you. You have to value how he reveals himself to you in your experiences with him. This is not New Age. This is called Christianity. This is the basics of Christianity. Let's look at our story here. Jesus begins walking with these two men on the road. They don't know who he is. Why? Verse 16 says, he covered their eyes. Why would he cover their eyes to not know him? Why would he do that? Why would he not bring a Bible and say who he was and start teaching them things? Why would he not do that? Because he was letting them know, in the coming season, when you're not able to see my body, I need you to value what I reveal to you in the spirit. Religion says, oh, no, you're talking about experiential. And I say, yeah, I'm talking about experiential. Unless you're 2,000 years old and you saw Jesus die on the cross, you have to go by experiential. There's a whole anti-anointing movement that says, don't believe what you feel and what you're experiencing. Don't, you have to devalue that. And I'm here to let you know it's a doctrine of demons. And let me tell you this much. It's a new doctrine of demons. This isn't old. This doesn't go back to the early church. This is new. I mean, these old saints, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. They're singing whole songs about, I finally experienced salvation. I know I'm right with God. Not just that I knew the right stuff in a book. The whole Reformation was based on, hey, just because you know something don't mean you're right with God. You better have some faith erupt in your heart, because if it hasn't, you're not saved. Don't tell me, oh, I've always been saved. If you don't know when you got saved, guess what? You probably aren't. I've always been saved. Well, I don't see that in the scriptures anywhere. Let's point to scripture. Have you met him? Have you met him? Listen, God is pouring out his love, and he wants you to experience that. I do weddings, and I don't say, now write a letter to her about how much you love her, and when she comes to me feeling unloved, I say, go read the letter. Just read the letter. We didn't ever come home. Did you read the letter? He doesn't say he loves me. Just read the letter. That's all you need is a letter. No, you better get some gifts. You better have some date night. You better be nice. Brush your teeth. It's amazing how much good grooming can repair a marriage. I got to go down that road, though. So hear this. They're walking down the road with Jesus and their eyes are covered, right? Now listen, this is the resurrected Jesus. Are you listening? This is the resurrected. This is New Testament times. Some people say, oh, well, you know, that's before he died. You know, oh, you're pointing to this. Oh, he did those miracles, but that was before he rose from the dead. No, this is post-resurrection. This is New Testament times. Are you with me? He covered their eyes because they could not get this with their natural senses. This wasn't intellectual. This had to be faith. Let's read this. They didn't know who he was. And what did they say? Verse 32, they said to one another, were not our hearts burning within us when he was speaking to us on the road? What was their confirmation that Jesus was alive? Their hearts were burning. They didn't just say, well, oh, I was convinced. You know, that was very convincing. I had a debate, but that was very convincing. They showed me the Greek. That was very convincing. Let's go have a debate. I never attended a Christian debate in my life. That's just, never mind. I'm going to debate you, and we'll see if God's alive, based on who can win the debate. If I lose, he's still alive. That's stupid. I'm sorry. I'm thankful for them, Father. Listen what happened. Verse 33, they got up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found gathered together the 11. We're talking about the apostles who walked with Jesus. Some of them were on the Mount Transfiguration. These guys knew Jesus. They go to these guys and they say, verse 34, the Lord has risen and appeared to Simon. Based on what? Based on an experience. Based on an experience. Now, what they were experiencing lined up with the Scripture. Jesus showed how what they were experiencing was lining up with Scripture. It says he opened the Scriptures to them concerning the Christ. So it's not either or. All through this book are people having experiences. Do you understand the very Scriptures themselves are the result of an experience? The prophet spoke to a person and he wrote it down. I got to say, that's probably an experience. Has God ever dictated a letter to you that takes people, you know, weeks to read? No. That was an experience. You say, well, you know, that's before he ascended. Turn with me to Acts 11. Y'all there, let me hear you say yeah. Acts chapter 11, starting in verse 4. Peter began, okay, here, let me give you the story again, all right? Okay, now, if you remember, Judaism was for the Jews. See how that works? See how that works? They're connected, right? And it was sin for a Jew to even eat with a Gentile because they weren't supposed to touch unclean things, right? Can you imagine being a religious Jew and then getting the Holy Ghost? How amazing you could have done Judaism. Anyways, so he goes to these, Peter has this experience, right? And he violates all the rules and goes into these Gentiles' houses. Not only does he eat with them, he preaches the gospel to them, and they get filled with the Holy Ghost. And so some of the religious leaders called him and said, listen, maybe you didn't recognize what's happening, but this is our God. We got rules going all the way back to Moses that says you can't do this. Not just we have a couple years worth of tradition. We have century upon century in written books that say, you can't share this with them. You're sharing our God with these people who are unclean. What are you doing? And let's see how Peter deals with this, shall we? Verse 4. Then Peter began speaking and proceeded to explain to them in orderly sequence, saying, verse 5, I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance, I saw a vision. Wait, what are you talking about? You had a vision. Oh, no, no, that's what I had, a vision. And in the vision, God talked to me. Let's skip ahead. Verse 7. I also heard a voice, because one man believed. In the vision and obeyed the voice, you and I could be saved. Here's a man who knew Jesus. I mean, I believe Peter knew Jesus. And I don't believe, it doesn't say he saw Jesus with his eyes. But again, I believe he had that confirming burning in his heart. He's in a trance and the Lord appears. Maybe not the body of the Lord. But the voice came and it resonated in his heart. This is Jesus. Go do these things. And in the vision, Jesus basically says, why don't you throw out everything you know and do what I'm telling you to do? Well, how do we test that? Well, a bunch of people got saved. Test passed. Well, anybody can say they're saved and then they got baptized in the Holy Ghost. You can't get baptized in the Holy Ghost unless you're saved. You can get saved and water baptized and then baptized in the Holy Ghost. You can get saved and baptized in the Holy Ghost, then get water baptized. You can get added to the church and get water baptized and not be saved, then get saved and get water baptized. But you cannot get baptized in the Holy Ghost unless you're saved. I remember I didn't know when I got saved. I would have one of those testimonies that I wasn't sure because I hadn't answered an altar call yet. And I was telling my story to a guy who was an elder in my life, and I hadn't really thought about it. And I said, Yeah, you know, I went to this, you know, and you've heard my testimony. I went to this place, and I got, you know, baptized in the Holy Ghost, and I started speaking in tongues, and I went to this church a month later, and I got saved. He's like, wait, Carl. No, you were already saved because you got baptized in the Holy Ghost and spoke in tongues. And that can't happen unless you've been converted. And so here are these guys who weren't supposed to get saved. And because one man obeyed his vision, he knew the voice. He knew the heart of God. He says, well, you say, well, so we can just do whatever we want? Look at verse 16. This is, then we'll start at 15. I began to speak. The Holy Spirit fell upon them just as he did upon all at the beginning. Verse 16, and I remembered the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord will confirm your experiences. What I'm believing God for in this very house, in an increasing manner, an increasing level, is that we will search the scriptures to understand our experiences, not the other way around. I'm tired of getting stuff that people already got. I'm tired of hearing about, oh, look, they're getting that. Lord, can you do it here too? I'm tired of the, can you do it here too? I'm tired of the, can you do it here too? I want to experience Jesus in a new way. I like going to people and say, I don't have any scripture for this yet, but this is what the Lord said to me, and this is the fruit of it, and this is what happened. And so, no, look right over here in Zephaniah. Well, what do you know? Can I give you an example? Mikey, you want the example, I guess. I'll give it to you. You want the example? I had saw an angel one time. Angel was female. And I was like, there's no female angels in the Bible. I don't know what to do. And then the Lord said, look at Zephaniah. You can look it up later. Female angels flying over. I'm like, well, what do you know? That's in the scriptures. Oh, what do you know? It's in there. But I know his voice. My heart is burning right now as I'm speaking this. And in the coming days and weeks, there's people in this house who are going to be led to do stuff. And God is going to confirm it with your burning heart. And you're going to say, wisdom, this doesn't look like wisdom at all. But the Spirit will agree on the inside. I feel the anointing right now. The Lord is speaking. I'm telling you, wisdom will say, don't do it. But the Lord will confirm it by His Spirit. You'll say, I know Jesus. Listen, if you don't know, get some elders in your life to pray with you. I have no problem saying, man, I don't know how that's going to work out, but I believe God's talking. Listen, some of you are going to make some decisions that are going to be contrary to wisdom. Gabby, I feel like you're in that season right now. I feel like the Lord is going to be requiring things of you in the coming season. There's a great call in your life. If you chase after the American dream, you won't achieve it. Jesus did not birth the American dream. The American dream is sanctified pride and greed. That's it. That's what it is. That's all it is. None of it's going to last the fire. None of it's going to heaven with you. You know what goes to heaven with you? The souls that you win. That's what goes to heaven with you. Let me get the band to come up. You're like, that's the message? Yep. That's the message. I believe the Lord wants to give some people an opportunity to have a new experience in Him. Anybody else? Can I get my life group leaders and my ministry team directors to come on up here? I think we're going to give people an opportunity to walk in close proximity to people who might be touching them with the heart to give new experiences in a tunnel form, yelling fire. Give me a little sum there, Mike. You two can come down. You stay up. You don't really want to run. Just give me a couple minutes. We'll pray for you, then you can go. Here's how we're going to do this. Let's stand. And let's say, Jesus, I want you. I don't want what any of these people got. I want you. And we're going to come down this aisle right here, and we're going to walk through. And you're going to walk all the way to the end.